Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Office Hours. Before we dive in, I have a quick favor to ask of you. If you're enjoying listening to Office Hours, do you mind taking a moment to subscribe, leave a review, and share the podcast with someone who could really benefit from some of our learnings that we talk about together? Your support helps us reach so many more entrepreneurs and business owners, and it helps us keep creating really valuable content because we get more feedback, learn what more people's needs are, and it really just helps us build a community all together. So would really appreciate it. And thank you so, so much. Hi there, Mike. How are you doing? Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, Grace. Thrilled to be here. Thanks again for having me on the pod.
Yeah, of course. Well, to everyone listening in, we're talking to Mike Green today, who is the CEO and president of Skylark, which is an incredible platform that is helping travelers book luxury experiences in a really unique and interesting way. I kind of met Mike a few years ago and have gotten to know both the product at Skylark, but also him as well. And I'm just excited to talk to him a little bit more about designing premium experiences, making sure we really kind of get his insight into the world of luxury travel. So yeah, I'm just really excited to get a better understanding of you. I mean, you've had a front row seat to this industry and also kind of being at the front of how it's changing. And so I just want to jump right in and ask you, what are some of the biggest shifts that you're seeing right now in how high-end travelers are choosing to book their travel?
Yeah, great question. So we've seen a huge shift towards spontaneity and last minute booking, specifically at Skylark. And I think, you know, that's been pretty much an industry-wide trend since COVID has caused, you know, the shift out of necessity, really. But also now a lot of people we're seeing are much more willing to fly to Europe or even Dubai on a week's notice, which is just quite crazy. You know, when I came into the business a little bit over a year ago now, one of the pieces of data that really spoke to me was that more than 2/3 of Skylark's bookings are happening both online and within a 30-day booking window. And that's a really, you know, kind of stunning contrast to where the company was pre-COVID. I think you did a great intro to Skylark. I appreciate that. A couple pieces of info about us. Our demographic skews a little bit younger than the average travel agency. So we're about 41 years old, our clientele. And I think a combination of having a younger demographic and also, you know, remote work becoming so much more flexible coming out of COVID. And also people, I think, especially in this younger generation, really tending to prioritize experiences over luxury goods coming out of the pandemic. I think all of that has come together, and has resulted in much shorter booking windows and much more spontaneous trip planning. So that's something that we're seeing a lot of, and we're really focused on.
How have you guys capitalized on that? Because I know a bit about obviously how Skylark works, but I want you to share maybe in the context of Skylark too and what you're building, but how does that translate to why people are booking with you, given that they're doing such last minute and sometimes, you know, traveling halfway across the world to do that kind of last minute travel, but it's not really last minute anymore. It's just, I guess, what's the new norm, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I think part of it is with the legacy product, right? People are able to book themselves online. I think the company's done an excellent job over the past 10 or 11 years since it's been around, curating the best properties in different destinations and making it really easy for our members to discover and book properties directly themselves online, but also can engage with a luxury travel advisor that we have in-house that has actually been to these hotels and has, you know, direct recommendations about, which properties to stay at, what restaurants to go to while they're staying there, what activities to do. So I think that that kind of hybrid service and combination of do it yourself online and engage with a luxury travel agent has lends itself really well to that last minute booker.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of leads directly into my kind of next question for you, which is what are those kind of luxury or more premium clients expecting now that they weren't 5 years ago? And maybe that's the ability to have that kind of hybrid service, but where are advisors right now, in your opinion, kind of falling short in meeting those expectations?
I think there's a few different areas I would point to. One is that we're noticing that a lot of our clients want to go more off the beaten path and try new places. You know, hotels, restaurants, all the above. and be the first to do it before other people talk about them. You know, all of a sudden there's this almost urgency to be the first to experience something new. A lot of that I think is driven by Instagram and TikTok culture. But I think, you know, in general, that's been a huge trend that we're seeing. And as a result, advisors are really expected and trusted to know and ideally have been to themselves the hottest spots. So that's why I think, you know, that's one area in which I think we excel, because we're not just a normal online travel agency where, you know, the people working in support or as advisors haven't actually been to the properties and can speak to it firsthand. Separately, I think a lot of agencies continue to push the same hotels over and over again that they have been for years. And this next generation of luxury traveler, this younger demographic, they really want to try new things and experience fresh properties and cultures rather than doing the same thing over and over again. And I think, you know, at Skylark, the team does a really good job at keeping a pulse on new openings and renovations and recommending unique experiences that are out of the ordinary. Example being, I think, you know, being able to really know how to combine the iconic with the new. So, you know, the Bristol in Paris is one of the most iconic properties in Europe, if not the world. But they have the new nightclub Bristol After Dark, which is young and hip and chic and really hard to get into. So really having advisors who understand how to combine combine the old with the new is something that I think is paramount. And just in general, the rise of AI in the last few years, right? Clients expect advisors to deliver more personalized firsthand recommendations than ever before, because it's 100 times easier today to get to go online and within a minute get personalized bespoke itineraries that you couldn't have even done really at all 5 years ago. And now you're able to do that moderately well, and that's only going to get better. So I think the bar for advisors in terms of personalization has only increased.
Yeah. And how about speed? Like, how does speed tie into that? Because I think you guys have nailed or at least are doing one of the better jobs at incorporating speed into the business by having your digital platform, but then also having the expertise behind the scenes. So where do you think that, you know, how does that translate into you guys delivering the highest perceived value to clients right now? Where does that kind of sit for you guys, and how are you thinking about speed there?
To me, it all comes down to supplier relationships. You know, the luxury travel world is growing faster than ever. There's a record increase in new hotel development over the next decade. And there's this, you know, to borrow the phrase, a kind of like Uberization of travel advisors, with a lot of new companies popping up where really anyone with a passion for travel can become a travel advisor, which I think is incredible in some ways and poses challenges in others. But I still think it's very much about who you know and how well you know them in terms of delivering perceived value to clients. I think that's where we have a pretty clear advantage of having worked over a decade in the industry with, you know, every luxury hotel group from Aman to Zanier. And, you know, we have the ability to we participate in every possible partner program and benefit. And I think those types of deals and value-added benefits are more important now than ever, because, you know, I think we've been leveraging supplier relationships to come up with some pretty awesome negotiated rates and perks that are available not only to Skylark 75,000 members, but also to the ICs that we host in-house through this kind of revamped program that we relaunched this year for ICs. But to circle back to your question, I think it's all about relationships in order to deliver perceived value to clients above what they can find online. And speed is obviously critical in that, because you need to be able to deliver that additional level of service to your clients while still maintaining the speed that they're getting more and more used to by the day with the you know, improvements that are happening in AI and travel.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, that's kind of throughout the whole booking process, kind of that mention of suppliers and just making sure that you're delivering both on speed, but also the quality and level of service that you're talking about. I'm curious, where you see the booking process right now for you guys. Like, where are the challenge, the most or the largest challenges right now, whether it's for you guys or the industry at large? Where do you see the challenges with the booking process? And where do you think there's areas to improve?
So, as you know, much of the luxury travel industry is a decade or three behind in terms of the tech stack, right? So I think, you know, advisors having access to an intuitive booking platform that has a simple, clean interface is critically important. And I think that's one of the major draws we have for why advisors would join our IC program, for example. So, you know, I think that's extremely important and only getting increasingly important. And I think Lucia's value prop, right? Like what you guys are doing, I think is a great answer to this question as well. Like having a support team and being able to handle admin and operations work so that advisors can focus more on the high touch white glove service aspect of it all is great. You're solving a real pain point there because you're in a situation right now where it's really easy to have too many clients and have things fall through the cracks throughout the booking process offline. And I think that solves a real need, having, you know, a support team or even a support assistant help out with some of the low hanging fruit so you can focus on more of the high touch aspects of the booking process.
Yeah, definitely. Where, you know, I just want to poke on this real quick just because you brought it up. Can you tell me a little bit more about the IC program just so that we can get a better understanding of like where your differentiators are? I mean, I mentioned the booking interface, so I'd love to just poke into that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So Skylark has always, at least for the last 5 or 6 years, had ICs on the platform. It was never part of a structured program. So one of the things I've been working on with the team early this year is standardizing that program, making sure that we have the proper support behind it to make sure that we can, you know, we're not looking to bring on dozens of ICs. We want to bring on maybe one or two additional ones a quarter. And do it in a responsible way to make sure that we're able to scale it and support the program. But, you know, a lot of our key differentiation comes down to the tech behind it, right? So we have really good tech that our in-house advisors use every day that we extend to our ICs as well. And we also have, you know, I think our other differentiation comes down to our culture. We are small, young, lean, team that really enjoys working together and really enjoys coming into work every day. So I think that's a huge part of it. And also obviously our negotiated rates that we have. And, you know, we're starting to increase with a new product we're launching in beta in the next few weeks called Wanderlux by Skylark. So that's going to be, you know, all the rates and the discounts that we get through that program are going to be eligible to be booked by our ICs as well.
That's awesome. How does that tie into the like personalization aspect for you guys? Because I know that new program you guys are going to be launching. I mean, I know a huge part of this is like personalization, premium experiences, access. Like, where do you guys kind of think about the most important parts of improving that premium experience in the future?
I think so. Wanderlux really comes down to solving, you know, for our hotel partners, solving the issue of how difficult forecasting has become. Mm-hmm. Since COVID and since this surge in last minute bookings, it's been really difficult to both forecast and optimize revenue last minute when you have all these bookings coming in the week of and you have large groups canceling a day before. That's kind of what spurred the innovation of that product. And then for our clients, it's also a way to, you know, prices have been absolutely skyrocketing coming out of COVID. So it makes it more accessible because the premise behind the product is it's a totally opaque closed user group, and if you book within a 30-day window, you are able to you know, get exclusive industry best rates at some of the best hotels in the world. You know, down the road, obviously in the roadmap, we think it's really important to build out the personalization aspect of it and to ensure that we're connecting our hotel partners with the best possible clients at the right times. But I think for now that a lot of the focus is proving the product market fit on the value side.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. You know, on the value side, why would an advisor or an IC or a traveler want to book through that program? Like, what's the value add for them currently, or the thesis of that value add?
It's all about, you know, people in this demographic are booking last minute anyway. So now it's all about how do we incentivize them to book through us? And the answer is through value, right? We're able to give them deals like anywhere from like 25 to 40% off as part of the beta. Think of it almost as like the simplified way of explaining it. That is like a luxury version of Hotel Tonight with having the best luxury hotels on the platform and connecting them with, you know, with amazing deals if they book at the last minute.
That's awesome. Where do you see, like, because I think the idea is brilliant and you guys have obviously seen signals in the market that this will be very useful for customers and advisors alike. What else are you seeing on the horizon for how, you know, luxury travel will be sold? Do you think that hybrid nature is going to change? Do you think it's going to lean more to online, more into the hands-on experience? Do you think it's going to just continue to get more and more hybrid? Like, I'm curious where you see the way that luxury travel is being sold, how that's going to change at all.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think this continued surge in last minute booking is here to stay. That's obviously our thesis. And I feel pretty strongly about it with the rise of remote work and flexibility and, you know, people just being more experiential overall. Not to beat a dead horse, I think AI is critical here. I think we're dangerously close to AI agents knowing your preferences from connecting to your emails and searching 20 sites and booking the best option for you in 30 seconds for free. So how do you compete with that, right? What customer service do you provide to differentiate yourself so that someone isn't just doing that free, really quick, good enough service? And then I think also just to go back to personalization, right? Like really doubling down and deeply knowing your clients, proactively anticipating their needs, delivering surprise and delights, ways to, like, I think that's kind of the anecdote to AI, right? Like really just like knowing your clients and providing that human touch element is just becoming more and more important as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think, again, also me not to beat a dead horse here, but I think the personalization aspect of it is so critical because of the ability to almost commoditize that personalization. Like that's going to become table stakes, if not already.
100%.
So what would you tell other advisors in this industry that they shouldn't keep doing or what's like not working? What are you seeing is not working in the industry right now? This is a tough one. Throwing this one out there.
Yeah. I think, you know, a few things come to mind off the bat. One is stop pushing properties just for higher commissions. I think that clients are smarter than they've ever been and they're going to see right through that. I think that's one pretty obvious one. Another is relying on, you know, whatever old school clunky systems you're using, whether it's CRMs or booking systems or any software within your business as an advisor. Clients are becoming increasingly tech savvy and they want efficiency. So I think that's another area that I would warn advisors on. And then, you know, being purely reactive, right? Like instead of bringing, you know, instead of just reacting to a client's needs, bring new ideas to your clients before they ask, like sometimes before they even know that they need a vacation, like put it on their radar, right? And that's something that the human touch through that proactivity can be really useful for.
Yeah, that's great. I'm really, really interested in some of the things and the ways that this industry will change and evolve, et cetera. What got you into it? Because I know that you're not originally, you know, I know you have a ton of experience in hospitality in general, but what got your interest piqued about this side of the industry?
I grew up around hospitality, just always loved the industry, started working in hotels at the age of 14, in New York City. I went to hotel school, obviously where I know you from at Cornell and, you know, really doubled down on that passion and ended up working in the restaurant tech space for the better part of the last 12, 13 years. But I think I always was still drawn to the hotel side. As much as I love restaurants, I've always loved travel. I've always loved the experience and the anticipation that comes along with it. And you know, specifically to this side of the industry, I just think that there's a lot of room for disruption, frankly. I think that there's a lot of things that have been done the way they've been done for decades just because that's the way they've been done, and not for any better reason than that. And I think that always presents an opportunity to come in and improve the industry from all different sides. So that's what I'm really passionate about, is coming in and trying to figure out how we can make this industry better, not only for advisors, not only for clients, but also for the hotels, to make it a fully functioning ecosystem. Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I think when I look at this younger millennial age demographic, what I think of is that they are really value and deal oriented. Not that everyone isn't, because obviously everyone loves a good deal. But when I think about what motivates them to book through Skylark versus through an OTA or through another luxury travel agency, I think they want, that new age tech and new age efficiency, but they also want to feel like they have access to a deal that they can't get elsewhere. And I think that's really important. And then I think the aspect of inspiration and discovery is really interesting to me as well. I think that's another part of the industry that's kind of broken. There's no one place to go to figure out where, like, I have a long weekend free in 2 weeks and I want to go somewhere with my spouse, but where do I go? I want to be inspired. Right. And I think that's something that, through a combination of social media and email marketing and a well thought through product, we have the potential to hopefully start to influence for that demographic.
Yeah, I think the way that you guys are approaching your business model and the way that you're thinking about how you guys are growing and what demographics you guys are going after is frankly against the grain from a lot of the traditional advisors in the industry right now, which makes up a majority. There's the Uberization of the industry popping up. There's a lot of other types of technology and companies going after, the luxury traveler. But I do think that you guys are finding a really interesting niche in your own way. And ultimately, that's the demographic that's going to continue having more spending power.
Yeah, you actually just hit on a huge part of our sales pitch that I missed. There's a lot of, we heard from a lot of, during our market research, a lot of different luxury hotel partners said that they are really eager to try to attract this generation and this demographic of traveler, but they don't know how. They either aren't large enough to have the marketing budget to figure it out, or they just don't really know how to approach them in the first place, because it's generally kind of like a disloyal bunch, mm-hmm. which they're not used to with the boomer generation. But that's a huge part of it, right? Like, if they're able to successfully capture the attention and wallet share of this generation, then that represents a way higher lifetime value over the next several decades than what the boomers represent right now. And it's a way to kind of capture that next generation of luxury traveler, which is exactly how we are positioning it.
Yeah, exactly. And just because they're harder to reach or harder to become loyal to your business doesn't mean you go after them and doesn't mean you keep the same approach. approach, you know? So I find that argument super valid.
I hope so. Yeah, we'll see. We have a lot to prove, but that's our hypothesis.
Okay. How has your data or experiences so far shown about how travelers actually decide what to book? What do you feel like, and what does the data show influences their decisions the most?
You know, I think the most obvious answer is social media, right? Especially Instagram, TikTok have become huge content, and like The White Lotus, which just everyone seems to be talking about, and other TV shows and movies have become just hugely influential on you know, how people decide where to go and what to book. Continuing with the last minute trend we've been discussing, I think the impetus to travel often comes from having a free long weekend or wanting to get away and work remotely for a week. And a lot of the times people just don't even know where to start. You know, they know they're free, they know they want to do something, they have a budget in mind, but they don't know where to go and how to approach it. I also think the idea of like uniqueness and value, right? Where can I go that's different and fresh and new, and where can I get the best deal? Because maybe it's a shoulder season and a hotel sitting at 30% occupancy and they're willing to promote a deal through the right distribution channel. So at Skylark, we lean really heavily into both curated content and proprietary negotiated rates to deliver on that uniqueness and value for our clients. And then I think there's also editorial and content, like really personalized content and proactive content, especially with the improvements in AI, right? It's going to be really easy in the coming months to years to get personalized recommendations through AI. So continuing as an advisor to keep a pulse on new openings and connecting the dots to your clients who, you know, who might see a ton of value in those new properties.
Right. Definitely. I guess it's a good transition then to say, you know, what kind of strategy, skills, or kind of mindset do you think will help set the top advisors apart over the next few years? Because I think what we've seen, even just in the last 5 years, is that personalization is more important. We're seeing that speed's important. We're seeing, like you said, the hybrid nature of booking. What do you think is going to help set advisors apart over the next 5?
Embracing AI as a partner, not a threat. Right? It's something that's here to stay and it's only getting better by the day. So use it to become more efficient, to become better, and don't view it as the enemy. I think that's first and foremost. You know, stay agile and keep up with shifting trends. Don't just get caught up in your old ways because you're used to operating in a certain way. You know, as we talked about before, just prioritize relationships, right? With both suppliers and with clients. Just always invest in relationships, and that will always pay dividends in my experience. And I also always advocate to my team, just keep learning, right? Whether it's site visits or fam trips, keeping up on fresh knowledge of openings and experiences. I think that's going to continue to be critical, especially in a remote world, to get out there and meet people and see properties so that you can speak to them more intelligently and with more conviction.
How are you guys leveraging and using AI in Skylark right now? How are you making sure that you're incorporating it?
Honestly, Grace, not enough. It's something that keeps me up at night. I think that we should be using it a lot more. And I think that we do it well in certain areas. If it's something like, you know, the easy use cases, like helping to write a contract or review a contract, or, you know, putting together proposals based on, based on notes that we have and turning that into more of a formal proposal. I think that's like some easy wins that we have right now. But I think we're always looking for ways that we can continue to leverage it, especially as it gets better. And also on the advisor side, like how do we, as I said before, like how do we use it as support so that our agents can focus on more of that like white glove concierge service, and less so being in the weeds, doing administrative work.
Now, you mentioned as well that content is going to be an important part for you. So like part AI, part content, how are you guys producing that content right now, given that it's such a priority for you? And how do you think about improving it over the next few years and months? Years and months.
So I think we're lucky that we have, 11 years of really good content to lean on, so that it's the onus isn't on us to go from zero to one. Obviously, we have to keep that fresh. You know, hotels are changing all the time. There's new openings. So we do have a team that does some of that editorial and content work. They do a great job of it. But we only have about 3,000 properties on our site. So it's not like we're booking.com or Expedia and we have to keep up with content for a million plus hotels. So that definitely makes it more manageable. But, you know, I think there's ways that we can continue to improve it and scale it using AI and also just using our writers to make sure that we are keeping a pulse on the industry and delivering the info that people actually care about.
So you're leaning heavily into written content is what I sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've done historically. We are working with a couple of partners right now to try to figure out how to, frankly, improve the quality of photos on our site as well. I think some of them are excellent. Some of them right now are not great. So I think we can always improve that, especially as it relates to, like, for example, showing room types on our site, which right now we don't have photos by room, by different room category, right? So that's just like certain things that can really help with any booking friction that's currently on the site. When, you know, if we can help keep people on the site and answer those questions and show them the relevant photos and descriptions, that's just going to improve our conversion and our booking experience. So something we're always looking at.
Awesome. Yeah, I think there's so many people that can probably learn and take from that. I think it's very easy to slink into not taking advantage of content because it's difficult to maintain and upkeep, like you said. But again, that falls back into kind of that mentality of like, let's just work with those who are maybe not as online or you know, savvy with content and things like that. So I love your guys' approach and trying to lean into it more. And I love how frank you are. Everything we talked about. Now, I think there's a general tone of like, we need to be better at this, which I think is such a great trait of yours. So, you know, I think for anyone that's listening into this, it's just a great mindset to adopt.
Thank you so much. And Grace, what are you seeing in terms of content in the industry? Like what new, innovative, fresh platforms are you seeing advisors or travel agencies jump onto to, you know, be different, but still get the word out there about their agency?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say I look outside of the industry to see what's working more than I do look internally, because I don't think the industry does a great job of delivering great content. And those that do, they've nailed certain things that work for them, but maybe it doesn't work for everyone. And so I've seen storytelling content work really well, whether it's written, video, audio, it doesn't matter. As long as there's like a storytelling element, I've seen that convert very well. Bringing people into a personal brand also works really well, especially for like more of an independent advisor rather than like a larger brand. So on your independent advisor front, like it might be something that's focusing really individual and getting people to trust that person or that brand or that company. And so that's where the storytelling comes in, is it leverages and builds trust really authentically. And then of course, like you already said, like written content works well for you guys. I agree here. I also think because social content, you don't own it. You don't own the distribution network. You don't own your distribution channel, and you don't know who you're going to reach. So we found it incredibly important to focus on building your own way of reaching people, which for us right now is a lot of, emails, like email marketing, newsletters, things like that, as well as like live stream events that we do, these webinars, as well as the podcast like this, because we know we're going to reach our end user because they signed up to receive this. Whereas on social, even if they follow us, they may not see any of our content. So we've decided that it's not, you know, we don't want to miss out on reaching people. So those are some of the things that we feel like is working really well right now.
Amazing. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I love the way you guys are approaching it too.
Yeah. It's always changing though. You know that. So you always have to keep up and adopt and change. But I think that's a big trend right now that I think you guys are, you know, very keenly aware of, I'm sure. and taking advantage of all the channels, which is so great. So yeah, well, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you so much for chatting with us. And for anyone interested in learning more about Skylark, I'm going to include the link in the show notes, as well as Mike's info as well, because he's just a fascinating person to learn about. So feel free to take a look in the show notes below. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you so much, Grace.